You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being here today. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm here in Pasadena, California. It's a beautiful day. We've had a ton of rain here in Southern Cal, but it's a gorgeous day today, and I'm happy to be with my sisters, Liz and Julie. Liz, what's happening in Santa Monica?
Well, not much is happening in my second bedroom, Leanne. It's just, you know, me and my microphone and laptop. Hooper's hanging out on the bed behind me, but I'm good, ready to go, and happy to be talking to you, too. How about you, Jewel? What's going on in Dallas?
I am here in Dallas, Texas, safe and strong in my closet, as I have always been. I will say I'm developing a deep resentment to two of my living room chairs that are kind of letting me down during this quarantine period.
Okay.
But we won't speak of that, okay? We're going to talk to each other, all right? Liz, I had that same thing you had last week where I'm just falling asleep earlier and earlier now,
yeah,
which is,
yeah.
It's demoralizing. It's
no, it's not good.
And it isn't.
And you know what? It also leads to wackier dreams. I was reading about that and I was surprised to read that. I can explain later on.
Okay. All right. We are going to be talking about dreams today on Satellite Sisters. Wow. We are really venturing into some territory we usually don't cover. Julie, though, you are bringing us a whole list of Tuesday trends, quarantine style, that you've noticed wandering around your neighborhood, right?
Right. I mean, some things that I don't know if we're going to continue to do it or not. I want your opinions.
All right. Also this week, just so much grief, so much grief. So on a more serious note, we're going to talk a little bit about the overwhelming grief here in the country and personal observations about it, and then some professional recommendations on how we can get through and maybe cultivate some sort of post-traumatic growth. We're going to talk about that later on. And then, Liz, you're going to talk about loneliness, right?
Yeah. You know, that Dr. Vivek Murthy, who was the Surgeon General, he's everywhere now. He's like on every podcast that I listen to. His new book is called Together, The Healing Power of Human Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. But he has some interesting observations about what makes people lonely versus what doesn't. Like, living alone doesn't necessarily make you lonely. It's much more complicated than that.
Okay. Good to note. And then huge, you know, cooking with Liz this week. So we
have some comments for you, Liz. Okay.
Well, this is your shot. You know, Tuesdays, it's judges table. So I assume you guys have, you know, like gone into some secret room with scary music and come up with some constructive criticisms.
I mean, Liz, we're your sister. We support you. We want you to eat well and cook a few things. So No,
yeah.
And we don't want to do harm, Liz, but we do have some comments.
It's notes. We have notes. It's not, I think of myself much as Martha Stewart thinks of herself, as a teacher.
Oh,
as a teacher, not
really?
A teacher. Yeah. Martha always says that. I'm a teacher.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I was speaking of being a teacher. Can we start with Nana Academy?
Sure.
Because I do every week since we started all this stay at home. We do have to recognize all the parents, the caregivers, the grannies, the nanas, the papas out there just doing it every week, working with teachers all over the country, all over the world that are now trying to teach a whole generation online, you know, and they hadn't planned on doing it that way. So, you know, I'm just reminded of it every day as my grandson Peter comes to my house. He's in kindergarten and I'm in charge of Peter, but it is just not normal for kids, you know, and I see it with my grandchildren. They just have such a sense of loss, you know, a frustration about things that they're not getting to do or can't figure out how to do, or, you know, plans have been postponed. And I've also, Leanne, have seen a number of articles about parents reporting on just kind of giving up on the teaching. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen those articles online.
No, but I haven't seen the articles, but I 100% can relate to that. I mean, I've said to several people, thank goodness my kids are out of school, because by now I just would have said, I think you should watch all 10 seasons of Seinfeld. I think that's excellent. I think you're going to learn more about life from that than anything I could teach you. So here's the Netflix password.
Okay. Well, you know, but I understand that there, you know, many parents are just saying, you know, it's enough to keep our children safe, to keep them healthy, you know, to, and not try to stress out about it. I'm trying not to stress out about it. And you know who I go to for inspiration, which I find highly unusual, but of course, totally appropriate, is our sister Sheila. Our sister Sheila is, you know, she is a veteran teacher. She's a star teacher. She's a master teacher. She now does her, you know, boutique tutoring online. But, you know, if you go, if she posts some very inspirational things at her Instagram. And the other day she had one up that just said, you've had a hard week and you've earned free choice time, which I think was for the students. But I took it. I thought she was speaking to me, that I deserve free choice time, which I thought, well, of course, that's what teachers do. They give children choices and that inspires them and keeps them motivated so that they don't give up. So I decided to take a detour from compound words, which we're working on over here. And we did a whole unit on rocks. You know, I happen to be married to a geologist, so that was handy.
So you have a lot of rocks in the house.
We do. We actually have lots of rocks in our house. So we looked at those. We took a rock hunt, which was, that was good. Everybody's outside. We're collecting rocks. We classified the rocks then. I thought that was pretty advanced, you know, igneous, yeah. Metamorphic. We did that. We got that. And then, you know, then I actually had a craft, because Liz, you and Corny Cole, our former producer, sent me some great things to do with kids. One was the Skullduggery Eyewitness Fossil Works Casting Kit.
Oh.
This is a great thing. So the kids get to actually make fossils. Okay, you cast them, you know, it's a whole crafting thing you do, and then you can paint them. And then there's this excellent explanatory book about that explains about the fossils, where they come from, how you find them. Well, we just had such a great free choice time. I might have to do it again. But I think, you know, it's just, I mean, this is really, really hard. And to just have any amount of inspiration, any kind of, you know, sort of something different to do just really picks up your spirits. So I hope that, you know, parents and other people that are teaching, just don't give up, right? That's, you know, just keep your spirits high, keep hope alive, and do a craft. I think that was really, really good for all three grandchildren. They really, it's very calming and it's very satisfying. And who knew?
Calming. That's the most important thing.
Well, it is, Liz, because, you know, they're really frustrated. You know, right. It's really hard to, like, their world is upside down. And that to do something reassuring, like coloring, crafting, is a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
And the fact that I built it all around rocks, well, I just think I'm a genius. Okay, that's it. That's it for Nana Camp and Nana Academy.
Okay.
Thank you, Joy.
It's funny that you say that, you know, obviously kids are frustrated by not getting to do so many of the things that they want to do, because in my now strolls around parts of my neighborhood that I don't normally see, but I'm like desperate to explore new blocks and see new things happening. I've noticed two main, I'm going to call them corn trends, you know, with a little TM after that. My corn trends are kids finally getting what they want, which is the number one corn trend in my neighborhood, which I kind of saw the beginnings of a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned it as I walked around on Saturday, not one, not two, not three, but 6 front yards in my neighborhood have brand new trampolines.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes, Leon. They have brand new, like the big trampolines. You know how I was laughing a couple weeks ago that my downstairs neighbors got one of those little tramps?
Yeah.
Mini tramps for inside their apartment because they have 3 little kids. Well, no, these are the maxi trampolines, the front yards or in the front driveway. I couldn't believe it. I noticed one and then two. And there were like six families, 6 kids, at least 6 kids have finally convinced their parents that now is the time I need a trampoline. And I can totally understand the parents' point of view. Like, you want to let the kids out of the house. But in my neighborhood, there aren't a lot of big yards. And they've closed all of the parks and everything, like real chain link fences, police tape, all of that. So there's no messing around. So tramps are the way they're going. Trampoline is this.
That's pretty funny. I just hope they don't fall off the tramp, which they all do. And then you have the trip to the emergency room. But whatever.
Oh, no, Julie. These are all the ones with the netting around them. These are all, you know, they have that safety netting so that you don't fall off. I mean, maybe you do anyway, but okay.
Sprain your ankle. Yeah. Okay. That's good. No, that's okay. That's great.
So the number one thing that kids always want, and now they're getting in my neighborhood, trampolines. Number two, of course, it's so obvious, puppies. We have many new puppies. And I think, again, the kids just must have been pestering their parents, and the parents who now have to be home all day, every day anyway, unless they're an essential worker, must have just thrown up their hands and thought, okay, well, if we're ever going to get a dog, now would be the time, because now we're all home and we can train the dog and take care of the dog. So the family is either in the front yard with the new dog or in the front yard on the trampoline. So that's it. That's what's happening in my neighborhood in Santa Monica.
All right. That's pretty funny, Liz, because I talked to my granddaughter, Josephine, and she told me that she's going to get a dog. That's what.
Of course.
She's working on her parents. I don't know how that's going to work in Brooklyn, but whatever. Okay, whatever. You know, it's funny, Liz, you mentioned trends. Here are some things that I'm noticing in Texas. One is, which I think is probably a good idea. I want your opinion, Liz and Leon. Fort Worth is setting up trail referees to make sure that people maintain social distance on public paths and trails. They are hiring people. Maybe they're athletic referees that don't have anything to do, but they're going to be out on the trails just to make sure people aren't clumping and they really are 6 feet apart. Good idea? Oh. Bad idea?
Well, here they've just closed all the trails. So, you know, in Texas, your trails are still open. So I guess anything that would make the open trail safer. Yeah. A friend of mine was telling me over the weekend, she was on a trail near her home in Connecticut. And all of a sudden she heard this bullhorn through the woods. And it was like some police sergeant screaming at her that the trails were closed and she was to get off the trails.
Wow.
Yeah.
Trail referees. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have many areas that are closed. They're apparently in Fort Worth, some of them are open. Okay. Now this happened to me. So I was on a Zoom call and someone inquired about my hair and said, it looks like you've had a haircut. I don't know. I mean, I have not had a haircut, but I suspect underground salons are popping up all over the place. That I know it's happening because I can just see walking around in my neighborhood. I'm seeing some pretty good heads of hair. I see some that are clearly not, you know, they have not found the underground salon. But what about you out in California? Mm-hmm. Are people mm-hmm. getting...
Well, I have to admit, my hairdresser came by yesterday. She did not come in the house, but she's just desperate to have me not single process dye my hair, you know, and I'm doing some roots and, you know, cause she is literally a master colorist. I mean, I have good hair color and that is because I have a good hair colorist, Trina, for 21 years. So there's a product out there that she wanted to get me, but it was sold out everywhere online. So she went to the salon and she dropped some off on my front porch. And she's like,
wow.
I will FaceTime you through this, Leon. You can do it. So, but no, I have not, no haircut. I wouldn't even ask her. I don't want to go there, but my husband saw her. She's like, will she come in and cut my hair? Because I'm desperate. He was more desperate than me.
Yeah, I had to buy my husband a comb. You know, you know my husband. He doesn't have a lot of hair, but now all of a sudden he needs a comb. He hasn't had a comb in like 10 years.
Well, Leah, I noticed that yesterday in the Facebook group, you posted that very cute picture of you on your front lawn holding up your new book, The Sweeney Sisters, and somebody attempted to bust you on the quality of your hair. Like, hey, your hair's looking pretty good. And so you had to explain that the photo was taken before quarantine began.
Right. Before I even thought I would be doing a book tour from my front porch. It was taken in December right after I had seen Trina, my excellent hair colorist. So, yes. And that is... So underground work is happening. I can't say that we improve this. Okay. Next trend that I can just predict. Holiday cards 2020 are going to feature a lot of Zoom screenshots. Okay. Or this is a trend. Portraits. That's porch traits. That's a compound word. Where you line up your family on the porch and you can have a photographer stay a safe distance and take the picture. Leon, your son, he could do this. He could just start taking a lot of curbside photos, right?
Yeah, that won't demoralize him. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. Good. He went from shooting for Nike to shooting people's families on their front porches.
Okay. That would be good. Okay. I would like a ruling on this, maybe a national referendum. If we give up handshaking, which maybe we will, maybe we won't, could we all just agree on what is going to be our social greeting? Are we going to wave? Are we going to do thumbs up? Because I can just anticipate a lot of social awkwardness if we're not shaking hands, which we've done for many, many years, and we go to some other form of greeting.
Okay. Okay.
Really, I feel you could lead this movement. I mean, think of the work you did for Toast. And I feel like if you settled on, is it a bow? Is it namaste? Is it a wave? And you really advocated for the handshaking replacement, you could be the face of the new American greeting. I think.
Okay, Leon.
I like that. It's a big decision, though, Julie, like a huge cultural trend like that. But I agree with Leon. You can pull it off. You've lived all over the world. You've traveled all over the world. You've seen all of the world's greetings. Just pick the best one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll get back to you on that one.
Maybe you could assemble a task force. Those are very popular. So get Lizzie Post, you know, get a couple of etiquette experts and then please get an epidemiologist on your task force.
Okay. I'm very fond of the Thai Y, which, or Thai Way, however you want to say it. I'll post one online. We can take a vote and see what happens.
Great.
All right. Okay, I like it.
Walking on the correct side of the street. This has got to be a trend, okay? If you're walking, you have to walk facing traffic because otherwise we're getting a lot of clumping, a lot of confusion. We're not, keeping our social distancing. Is this happening in California, people walking on the correct side, facing traffic?
Okay, I'm going to have to disagree with that because here's my challenge in my neighborhood. A lot of the main streets have big, wide bike paths on them. So if you're walking, say you're walking south on the sidewalk and someone's coming north on the sidewalk, the easiest thing is just for one of you to step into the bike path. So I have been doing that. Are you suggesting that if I'm going one side of the street walks north and the other side of the street walks south on the sidewalk?
No. Are you facing, you walk facing traffic, Liz. Okay.
Yes. But I'm talking about on the sidewalk.
If you have a sidewalk, sometimes.
Oh, I see. That's right. That's right. Yeah. You have streets with no sidewalk.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it is hard. You never know who's going to pull over, right? You're waiting. You see someone coming from a block away. You don't know. Am I pulling over? Are they pulling over? You're right. There should be some, agreed upon protocol.
Okay. And same thing in the grocery stores, one-way aisles. I love that. I do see that. Have you seen that? So no clumping.
Yes.
No, that's excellent. We can all, I hope that, stays forever. And finally,
forever.
Yes. No more clogging up the grocery aisles. And then finally, I am having a hard time watching TV shows where actors don't maintain social distancing. For example, like a police drama where they show the squad room and they're all bunched in together. It gives me I can't watch it. I don't know. I think Hollywood is going to have to really rethink how they make all films, movies in the future where, you know, where social distancing is included, right?
It is funny. I'm having the same reaction where you see like all of a sudden they're having a big party and you're like, no. And then you realize, no, that's just real life the way it used to be like last month. And might be some way that way again sometime in the future. We just don't know when, Julie. But yeah, I do have the kind of moment.
Okay. All right. Just keep your
distance. Trauma. You guys, a lot of.
Yes.
I think we're way overthinking it. Yeah, way overthinking it.
I'm out there. I'm looking for trends as best I can. And I'm watching you if you're getting your hair cut. I'm going to know. All right.
All right. Just a few things we want to welcome. Lots of new people to the Facebook group. Thank you so much. If you are joining us this week or you're a new listener, we'd love to have you over at the Facebook group. You can just go to Facebook and search the Satellite Sisters. You have to answer a couple of questions. The group is for listeners of the podcast. And just so, you know, we can keep it all together over there. And so many new names and faces. That's great. Thank you. Also, I have a book coming out in a couple weeks over at the called The Sweeney Sisters. It reads like historical fiction now because there's lots of hugging and handshaking gathering. I don't really write historical fiction, but apparently I do. If you want a book plate, you can find the Google Doc over at the Satellite Sisters Facebook group or at my Leanne Dolan author page, and you can just fill that out and I can sign a book plate for you and it'll be mailed to you totally free. And I appreciate everyone who's already pre-ordered the book and wants the book plate because I am literally not doing a book tour. I don't know. These book plates are kind of a big deal now. they were short of a no big deal item, but they're first of all, they're really beautiful. I've seen the design and they're totally free. So I would love to be able to sign thousands of book plates for people, but you do have to fill out the Google Doc. So yeah, you can find that at almost all of our social media sites. There's a link to that Google Doc, but Facebook for sure.
Yeah. And I also put a link in the show notes so great. You can just swipe the cover art, whatever app you use, and it should be right there.
Great. Okay. We would like to thank a couple of sponsors for Satellite Sisters, and we really would like to thank these sponsors. Thanks for sticking with us. And thanks to the Satellite Sisterhood for supporting the people that support the show. It makes us possible. It makes it possible for us to continue to do this week in and week out. And we love being here.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, yes. you can literally see your skin get firmer and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know, we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
We are back. Okay, here's what happened to me this week. I was out doing my patriotic duty, which was, of course, ordering takeout Greek food for dinner.
Good for you, Leanne. I mean, that's important.
Right. Yes. Support the small businesses. Good for you.
So I hadn't really left the house the whole week. So that this was a big Saturday night out. I went out to pick up the food. I bring it home. And a couple, like about 10 days ago, we noticed our neighbors had put up a flag, an American flag. And so my husband, who's the flag man, you know, his takes his flag rotation very seriously at our house. He put up our flag, too. He thought, OK, I'm going to do this. And I was driving into the neighborhood and I noticed all these flags had popped up over the last month. And I just got totally overwhelmed. Just
really? It overwhelms you at times.
Yeah. I drove into our driveway. I saw the flag. It was backlit. It was a beautiful night. I just thought about all those families that have lost, you know, 25,000 individuals have died roughly. And those are all real people with real families and with real lives and real stories to tell. I just got overwhelmed. That's a huge number. And it just, it got me sort of down a path thinking about like national grief and grieving and not to mention all the other losses. I mean, people can be very sick and really never go back to the health they had before. We have healthcare workers who've given up seeing their family. There are, you know, work and life milestones that people will never get to do, graduate from high school, go to prom, all these things. This is just an overwhelming amount of grief. And it just hit me all at once with that Greek food in the car, seeing all those flags. It really, really overwhelms me.
You know, Leanne, me too. I spent a lot of time over Easter weekend thinking about all those victims and their loved ones. You know, Liz and Leanne, we cared for our parents at the end of our lives. Our mother lived with you, Liz, and Leanne, you were in and out of there constantly. And all of this, our siblings were in constant rotation, you know, visiting my mother, caring for her at the end of her life. And I think about those families that have not had that, those that have succumbed to this virus and for their families, that they haven't had those final moments together. You know, our dad was here in Dallas and I was with him at the end of his life. And I'm very grateful to all the wonderful advice that we got from hospice workers, both here in Dallas and in California, about the meaning of the end of life and about, you know, what it looks like and what it feels like and how to help the loved ones through that end of life. And to think about, you know, to think about these families not having that or to have it in some strange, weird way on a Zoom call must be so difficult. And that we had the good, you know, we were able to gather for funerals and that we could seek comfort with each other and with our friends and with our family. And that was so important to our grieving process. So I just really have all those families in our hearts and that, you know, just was really spent a lot of time in prayer thinking about them and looking really forward to a day where as a nation, we can have a national day of mourning. And we can, you know, publicly comfort all these families that have gone through this with, you know, with our thoughts, with our prayers, with, you know, to really acknowledge, you know, how terrible their loss was, how difficult their loss was, and that they're not forgotten. And, you know, until we're through this, they're just in our hearts. Right.
That is very nice, Julie. Yes, they are. Yeah,
well, it sent me down a path of just looking up some articles about grieving and grief again. And one of the articles I came across in Rolling Stone, which was good, quoted David Kessler, who's one of the world's foremost experts in grief and loss. And he said something in the piece that I thought was applicable, because obviously losing a loved one is the ultimate, you know, loss, but there are so many losses happening of various degrees and will be happening for months. And he said, in looking at grief on a spectrum of macro and micro losses, it's not useful to compare your grief to someone else's. I'm a big believer that grief should be a no judgment zone. And one of the questions I've been asked my whole career is which loss is worse?
And my response is always your loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah, that is very wise. Very wise.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, it's tempting to say, oh, it's just a high school prom. You'll get over it. But for the high school senior, that's a really big deal, a graduation or a baptism or, Julie, as you said, a funeral. Boy, that's just a tough thing not to be able to go through. Mm-hmm. So then I was digging further and I remembered that my college friend Danny had sent a super helpful email to our group of college friends. She's a psychologist, about like things that we can do to get through this. And she called it post-traumatic growth, which was a term I had not heard, but that's positive transformation that follows trauma. And that may seem like a big term, but a new study out by the Kaiser Family Foundation found that nearly half of all Americans, 45%, feel that the coronavirus has negatively affected their mental health. So that's a huge percentage on a national. Yes. It's probably
all happening at the same time, too.
Right. So this, nurturing your positivity is really key to this post-traumatic growth. So Danny sent over like a couple of things that we could actually do to stay positive, and not in a Pollyanna way. Yeah. There's a way that psychologists call tragic optimism, and it's the ability to maintain hope and find meaning in life despite pain, loss, and suffering. So maintaining a tragic optimism seems actually like that should be a goal. And here are just a couple of tips from my friend Danny's very helpful email. Make meaning. Making meaning out of challenging situations gives value to the experience and contributes to what is known as post-traumatic growth. So have I grown or made a positive change as a result of this experience? That's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. Hopefully it will make us more empathetic to one another. Right.
I hope so too, Julie. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think on a national level, we've recognized a lot of people who do jobs that we don't think about probably on a daily basis. And we've raised them to the level of heroes, grocery store workers, delivery people, all kinds of people like that. Yes. Just being supportive of people's making a living in daily jobs. Yeah, I hope that's true. But just again, keep it personal. Have I grown? Mm-hmm. And another one was really simple. Make movement and create engagement. So, Liz, this made me think of you, because you said last week your body was just really stiff and tight.
Right? Yes, yes.
And that's a natural physical reaction, according to these notes my friend Danny sent. When we're overwhelmed by fear, our bodies can become shut down or immobilized. So in order to feel empowered and be able to face our challenges, it's important to stay mobilized and keep the body moving. So daily exercise is important, but particularly, I know you hate the word, mindfulness practices like yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, and dance classes are helpful because they combine moving and mindfulness by encouraging us to stay focused and be in the present. Mm. All right. So, Liz, I know you're not a yoga fan. Could be the time. Or Tai Chi, I kind of see you doing.
I could see you. That it would go well in your neighborhood. Yeah.
Just well, here's
right
what I...
your kitchen window. Do a little Tai Chi.
It is interesting to see what people's exercise practices are outside. Now that everyone is just doing them outside their house or in their driveway or on the sidewalk or something, things that people used to do in the gym. Now they're, I don't know if it's the same in your neighborhood, they're like tying things to trees and swinging from the trees, or there is a lot of Qigong, Tai Chi, a lot of martial arts with which I'm unfamiliar, but people have fake swords and they're going through the motions. Here's what I adopted this week is I sort of revitalized my stretching routine. And because it was a little rainy here in Los Angeles, I'm turning on my fire at night. My yoga mat, I don't do yoga, but I do own a yoga mat. So the yoga mat's in front of the fireplace. And then I just lay in front of the nice warm fire and do my stretching routine. And
that
I've actually...
It's very positive, Liz. Good for you.
Yeah. I've actually liked that.
You have to do that. And then one last one. Did you have something, Liz?
No. Go ahead.
And then one last one, Julie. It made me think of you again, because you have children in the house. You have a larger family pod than Liz or I. So create engagement. And that's the combination of rhythm and connection
So that's singing together, dancing together, drumming or playing music together, playing games, cooking, storytelling. Those are all great ways that you're able to move in rhythm with others and feel the connection. And it's super elemental. It's back and forth. There's a lot of eye contact, and it helps people feel safe and present, a little bit of joy. And then you actually know, like on a cellular level, you're in this together. So I know we're like,
You know, I can't sing or play an instrument, but I'm not going to let it stop me, Leanne. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no stopping me now. All right.
Yeah. Just put on that Satellite Sisters Dancing in Your Living Room playlist. When the kids are there, just do some dancing. That would be it. I have yet to be able to engage my husband in any of those activities, but we do seem to connect walking the dog. That's about
okay.
It.
All right.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, last week we were also talking about living alone versus living with other people, you know, and I was joking about how I really prefer to be alone, but during this phase, but right now I just would love someone to give me like a neck and shoulder massage. That's the one thing I really need. Like, I don't need to emotionally engage with anyone, but a nice neck and shoulder massage would be good. But I cannot do that. But I have been hearing on a lot of my favorite podcasts from Dr. Vivek Murthy. Have you heard him interviewed lately? He was the Surgeon General, and now he has a new book out called Together, The Healing Power of Human Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. Have you heard this guy? He was on Katie Couric's podcast. He was on 10% Happier. And he has talked a lot about how a lot of our physical ailments and medical issues are, you know, at the root of them is sort of a deep loneliness that really does affect us medically more than we know. And so he feels like the pandemic before the coronavirus pandemic was really a pandemic of loneliness. But he said lonely doesn't really have anything to do with being alone. It's about the quality of your relations with other people. And I think that's one thing we can all see now. I mean, you can have someone in the other room, but you can still feel pretty lonely sitting and trying to do what you want to do, or you can feel just distracted and sad. So it has nothing to do with the number of people in your pod. And he said, it's really how you feel about your relationships with other people and how you feel about your relationship to yourself that really determines whether or not you are engaged with the world, whether you are lonely or not. And, you know, and so much of this sounded familiar because I feel like we invented this pretty much because
yes, we did, Liz. Yes.
I mean, I remember 20 years ago when we launched Satellite Sisters, we always said that the most important sense any of us have is our sense of connection, and that being someone's sister or friend or neighbor or partner is what gives our lives meaning. So
I think I wrote that in the book, though, our first book. Yes,
you did. I think. Yeah. And he was just talking about that obviously now it's a little bit harder to do that, but maybe we will appreciate it even more. And he made one point, I think it was when he was talking to Katie Couric, he said, one gift you could really give people right now is the gift of your full attention. So that even if you're just calling them for 5 minutes, you're not scrolling through your social media, you're not also looking online at anything, you're not like at work also trying to multitask, just to call someone, talk to them, and give them your full attention is like a major way to create engagement, but also cure any lonely feelings you would be having or that your friend would be having. So I thought that was a really good piece of advice. The gift.
That is. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. And speaking of what's going on in your head, one last thing. Apparently, the weird dreams are running rampant.
Thank goodness. I'm having weird dreams. Yes.
Are you really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a story in the New York Times today that the Google queries why am I having weird dreams lately? It's more than quadrupled since the coronavirus began. Everyone thinks they alone are having all these weird, vivid dreams. And one thing that was interesting in the story is that if you sleep more, you tend to have longer and more vibrant dreams, you know? And that's why, Leon, when you said you're going to bed earlier,
yeah,
because you're dreaming during a certain phase of your REM sleep. So theoretically, if you're having more REM sleep, then you might be having wackier dreams. I feel like I'm spending longer in bed, but not exactly sleeping. You know, my sleep is so...
Yeah.
It's so restless. Anyway, so the experts in the article say that this kind of stress, that your brain turns things like metaphoric things into real things, or it like visualizes what your fears are. So right now people are having what this expert said, a ton of bug dreams. In other words, the virus that's on your mind in your dream is being turned into an actual bug. So you having any of those? Any bug dreams? I feel like I'm like a bat in my dreams. And the experts also said that people who are confined, this is really not good. People who are confined tend to dream about food. Which should not be healthy. And they dream about escape. But the good news is that you can do what they call dream incubation. So as you're falling asleep, sisters, you focus on a category. They suggested something like flying, and you visualize flying as you go to sleep. And then you are planting that thought in your brain, and you might, it's not a sure thing, but you might actually have more relaxing dreams if you incubate a thought as you're falling to sleep. So I was thinking, what I really want to dream about is sleeping. So I don't know how to do that. But those were just a few of the suggestions they had. But you are not alone. We're all having the weird dreams.
Okay. I'm going to put that photo of Brad Pitt next to my bed.
That seems like
a good idea. As opposed to last night, I dreamt I was being married off to a cult leader. So... All right.
Oh, that's not good.
No, Liz, it is not. When we come back, we have Cooking with Liz. I mean, the breakout hit of the season there on Facebook. But first, we want to thank a couple of sponsors for sticking with Satellite Sisters and supporting us. We really appreciate it.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Okay, Well, here we are. It is time for the judges table for Cooking with Liz. So, Leanne and Julie, this is where you get to weigh in on my performance over the weekend. But I'm going to do a little bit of a self-review first, if that's okay. You guys cool with that?
Sure, Liz.
Okay. So let's start with what the goal of Cooking with Liz was. And it was that once I realized I was going to be spending more time in my home, I thought I could pick up a few kitchen skills and maybe add a few good staples to my repertoire. I don't cook a lot. And when I do, it's usually just for me. So cooking for one is really a different thing than cooking to have people over. So that was the original idea. And it was just, you know, I thought I was going to have a little fun. So I'll confess right now, if I had known that it was going to be the breakout hit of the quarantine season, I would have given it a better name than Cooking with Liz. I'm starting to regret that I didn't come up with a snappier name, but that's okay. Now it's caught on. That's the brand. I'm sticking with the brand. Cooking with Liz. So this season's assignment was to cook a meal entirely from what I already had in the house, because Mayor Garcetti here in LA has asked us to really limit even going to the grocery store if we possibly can. So what could I cook that would that I already had on hand? So in episode one, I gave you a tour of what I had in the fridge and in my pantry. Episode two, we started to go through the actual menu reveal. And then episode three, we had decided on a frittata, people. And again, I want to thank Diane for supplying the frittata pan, Amy for sending in the frittata recipe that I used, and Catherine for making the suggestion about the diced salad that I made. So anyway, so I feel like I did okay. There are a few things I would have done better. I mean, again, how many times am I going to learn the seasoning lesson? Oh, I was so mad at myself. The salt and pepper. Why did I forget the salt and pepper at the end? So like that. And also I would say I should have known from Edna Dolan. I mean, anything that can be finished in advance should be finished in advance.
Bingo.
And I felt like if you look at the Sunday finale, labeled the frittata finale, is that the side dish could have been totally finished before I took the frittata out of the oven. And I know that now.
Yeah.
But I've learned that lesson.
That's a good learning lesson, Liz. Good.
Yeah. Good. I mean, and that's why on Top Chef, when you watch them at the end, right before their plates go out, they're really attending to the little things then, just the seasoning. They've got the tweezers
doing big things right at the end.
I was. So that would be my main lesson. And then the one other thing that I feel like I said at the end of season three, but I kind of blew it in season four, is less of the back of my head on camera, because it looks terrible in the finale. Like, what was my hair doing back there? That was just like a rat's nest back there. So I'm going to have to figure that. It's both a camera angle issue and a personal grooming issue that I'm going, if I get renewed for season five, and of course that's all up to you guys. If I get renewed for season five, again, I just have to deal with the back of my head. So there you go. That is, that's pretty much my self-review. On the final episode, I did talk about the other things I learned about the cooking equipment and the definition of the various egg dishes, which I did not know, like the difference between a frittata and a strata and a quiche and a crustless quiche. But that's already on the episode, so I will not review that. So that is my self-review, judges. So now you can just weigh in.
Okay. Leanne, after you.
All right. Well, I was there. You know, I was happy to be part of this episode. I drove out from my home in Pasadena. I stood outside Liz's window for an hour and then I drove home. So it was meaningful. But ironically, Liz, we had wanted to give you putting together a three-course meal to see how you actually, you know, did flavor building and that kind of thing and worked under pressure to actually get a meal out to company.
Yeah.
But then we backed off that challenge because of the directive not to go to the grocery store. But you ended up doing that yourself. So kudos to you. And I can vouch, Julie, that the pressure of actually being live on camera was a pretty good simulation of what it's like to get a meal out for, you know, eight people if you invited them over for brunch.
Or even just a couple of super hungry people that are lurking around in your kitchen, right?
Yeah. So Liz,
okay. All right.
you actually, I felt like you stretched yourself. I think the things that were successful, you planned a good menu. That quiche was good. It was unexpected that it had sweet potato in it. And you frittata. Managed.
Not- it was a frittata, not a quiche.
I'm sorry. The frittata.
Now she's a real smarty pants about egg dishes.
Yeah. I mean, you, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Anyway, you did plan a good menu. You made a critical call in not adding the smoked salmon to the frittata. That would have been a disaster because, you know, like the number one rule on Top Chef is no fish and cheese combined. That's disgusting.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Yeah.
That would have been too much. You rightly, at the end, you pulled the salmon out. You served it separately. You made a nice side sauce for that. So thank goodness, because that would have been just too much, too rich, a terrible combination. Uh-huh. And then you served a salad. The salad could have really been done better, but that's okay. Like, the flavors worked, Liz. And that's the important thing.
Okay.
So that plate you showed me was a really beautiful plate of food. You know, it looked like a festive Easter brunch. You did it. You pulled it off. Could you, one thing about seasoning, it's not just at the end. Like, you can season your food all along. So you should have seasoned the vegetables before you added the eggs. Like, each component of a dish should be seasoned separately so that they all work together. So just tossing salt on at the end would have helped a little because there was zero salt in that. Am I correct? You put no salt in that.
Oh, no, there was. I seasoned when I was cooking them in the pan, in the frittata pan, but maybe not enough for your palate.
Not enough. You needed more. Yeah. And then so that's it. And the same with the salad. Like, you could have done that ahead of time. It should have been pre-dressed. The salad could have been more elegantly cut. That's fine. And then same with the salmon. You could have done that ahead of time. I would have opened that up a little bit, made it look better. But the point is, Liz, you pulled it off. Everything tasted good and you made a really good brunch. So if you can just drill down and nail those elements, you can keep serving that over and over for the rest of it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, I agree with Leanne. The recipe was a winner, Liz. And I, like Leanne said, I was so happy you didn't go down the goat cheese smoked salmon rabbit hole that you were toying with in episodes 1 and 2. I mean, you came pretty close to combining those two. You were getting a lot of comments like, don't do it, Liz, don't do it. And you didn't. I loved the pure joy on your face when you pulled that frittata out. I mean, I could almost see your thought bubble like, oh my God, this actually looks good. Right?
Okay. Yes. When it slid out of that frittata pan, no one was more surprised than me. I'll tell you that.
Okay. But Liz, the fork work was outrageous. You were jabbing at that frittata like it was a live animal, okay? You were jabbing the poor eggs and cream. You were just stabbing it and stabbing it and stabbing it, okay? So that was a little much. And then speaking of live animals, was that a badger that was rummaging in your silverware drawer? I mean, the noise was so loud. It was certainly larger than a squirrel. So I assumed it had to be like a badger or some kind. I mean, I don't know.
That's the pressure of being live, Julie. That's the pressure of being live. I was just grabbing knives and forks in there. It's a very well-organized silverware drawer.
I've been in your silverware drawer. That's why I figured there must be a badger in there too, because she's making a racket.
Okay. Yeah, that could have been streamlined. That could have been out ahead of time and napkin service.
You might have wanted to get all your utensils in place.
Yes.
Okay.
But these are live and learn things, Liz.
Yeah, exactly. This is all about the learning. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so trying to learn. Yeah.
I would have loved to see the frittata slide in slow-mo and reverse on the episode, Liz, because it was a thing of beauty. Okay. And you better thank the satellite sisterhood that they reminded you to put the goat cheese on there.
Okay? I know.
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing when you're doing it live and you're getting the comments from everybody that's watching. They were screaming at me about the salt and pepper and screaming at me about the feta. And so I saw the one, but not the other. But thank you, live audience. You really saved the day there.
Yes. I did gasp with despair when I saw you shake and then pour the salad dressing on your plated salad. You were just doing such a good job there, Liz. Mm-hmm.
But I think you've learned from that. You know, you could do that. The flavors would have been a little better if you had like mixed it up ahead of time. That's okay.
Yep.
Your guest was sheer delight. That's what I'm going to say about this week's guest. No one was more surprised than me. I was, because you two didn't tell me about that. I was like, whoa, it's Leon in a cute hat in the window.
Yes, the Easter bonnet was adorable, Leon. Yes. Adorable.
And
well, I was happy to be there. I mean, it killed 2 hours. I mean, that was a drive out, stood there for an hour and then drove home. So that was great.
Yes.
And Liz, I took the leftovers. I mean, those were big portions.
Yes.
I was happy to have the leftovers. And you know what? They all tasted great the next morning, like all together. Like that was good breakfast the next morning because the salad had, you know, got some dressing on it and some seasoning. And so there was,
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Without a doubt, given all the fine work you did, we are renewing you for season 5.
Yes.
And
yay.
And now here is your challenge. Would like you to recreate a dish you've had before at some restaurant, at some friend's house, some memorable dish that you've had before. So we'll leave it open-ended like that. So that, you know, you don't create any shopping troubles for you. Just a great dish you've had before.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to think about that. So. All right. So thank you for season 5. I'm so excited. And this actually sounds easier than what I did in season 4.
Yes.
Where, it's doing it all live that just adds to the excitement of it. But that's why, like, when you see people running around like crazy in that Top Chef kitchen, I get it now. You just go crazy. You go crazy.
Okay. Well, and just get the badger out of the silverware drawer. You'll be all set for next season.
Okay. So here's my schedule then for season 5. Now that I've been renewed for season 5, on Thursday at noon Pacific time, we'll do the season premiere and that will be the menu reveal. Okay. That's what I'll do. I'll let you know on Thursday what I'm going to make. And then Saturday at noon, there will be episode 2 and it will be, you know, some mise en place. I think we've established that, or some prep. And then Sunday at noon, I will have the final presentation. How about that? So you got Thursday noon, Saturday noon, Sunday noon. Who knows what I could do, but okay. And with each season, I am gaining confidence. So thank you, sisters, for your support and for renewing me. I feel like everything I've made so far, I can add to my permanent repertoire.
Yes.
You should, very excited.
You should definitely make that frittata again.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Just don't open the oven and never, ever stab eggs. I mean, when I couldn't see that because I was behind the curtain.
Oh,
so when
God.
I actually watched the playback, I was like, she did not.
It was like murder. Oof. Frittata murder.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so go ahead.
The best cooks in the world, they write down all the timing. Like if you watch Ina Garten, she writes down everything she should do on the back of an envelope, just like our mom did. So that's also just a good trick that that helps keep you on track.
The Edna Dolan work back. Yeah. Edna Dolan's work back would start like 4 days ahead of time.
Yeah. It's a good system. People
it
do
is
it.
A good
it
works. System. That's why she was, she could feed.
Works.
Feed,
yeah. All right. I wanted to just make one entertaining sister's recommendation. Nothing has delighted me more than seeing animals retake the human world during this stay at home thing. I love seeing the videos of goats, you know, herds of goats in mountain towns. I like, you know, bears just wandering down the street in Yosemite. I like the moose in your backyard. I love seeing it. I've always been fascinated, particularly by urban wildlife. You know, I have talked a lot about it on Satellite Sisters.
You
like
have.
Every once in a while in our urban life, when a wild animal shows up, I love that. I like that that cognitive dissonance. So, but I also wanted to have some relaxation. So I listened this week to a fantastic audiobook called The Hidden World of the Fox by Adele Brand. She is a British mammal ecologist and she has loved foxes her whole life. Now, I have loved foxes since I saw that Disney animated Robin Hood and they had that sexy fox as Robin Hood. And I was like, 8, so that was inappropriate. And I couldn't name it, but I was like, that's a sexy Robin Hood. And so, and I just love Fox stories. About 10 years ago, I saw a story in National Geographic how certain areas of Russia, they were domesticating foxes like dogs. And like, that sent me down a whole path of wanting to have a fox. And
I think we discussed that on the show at the time. Yeah. Yes, I remember you discussing that.
Yeah. So Liz, this, and Julie, this is a delightful book. The audiobook's only 5 hours. So it basically was 5 dog walks where I would take the dog for a walk and listen to the lovely British narrator read to me about foxes. And I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed that this week. But there are a lot of fox facts in the book. First of all, I did not know this. Do you know what the name of a female fox is?
No.
It is Vixen.
Really?
Yes, that's where that word comes from. Isn't that? I just didn't know
that. I had no idea. I thought they were just foxes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I ever go to a cocktail party again, I'm going to mention that later. Yes.
Okay. Okay, Julie, wait. This is even bigger for you. Because this Because she goes, you know, the foxes are part of the dog family, right? And do you know where the dog family originated? Like in history, in ecological history? Do you know where they originated?
No.
50,000 years ago, the dogs are a North American species. So yay for us. That's good. That's where they originated in North America. They were born out of like super humid forested land. Dogs, Julie, are from Texas. That is where dogs are from 50,000 years ago.
Leanne, that is mind blowing. My mind is blown. Okay. I am on the floor in my closet.
So that you're going to be very popular at the cocktail party when you start.
I am going to shout that. Okay.
Did you know dogs are from Texas? That just, I couldn't believe it. And then one more fox fact that maybe Liz and Julie, you've traveled a lot more to London than I have. There are foxes in London all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never seen a fox. Well, they have all those
beautiful
parks. Yes.
They have all those gorgeous parks with a lot of like wild, ungroomed areas. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're scrappy people. They're adaptable. You know what the fox can do? The fox will eat anything, she kept saying. The vixens, they're not particular about their diet. Sure, they'll eat pizza. They'll eat rats. They don't care. Other animals are picky, but not the fox. And I said how the original foxes got to London from the countryside. They got on the trains. They actually like got on trains.
Well, there's
really?
It's a long walk. It's a long walk from the countryside.
Good
to take public transportation. Yeah.
Okay, I can't wait for this movie then. When all the foxes get on the trains and go into the big city, that's a good movie.
Where is that animated film, Liz? When I found out there were foxes all over London, that they live in people's sheds or they live in back alleys, like the fox can live anywhere. They don't care. Like, I was like, why isn't that a series? I'd like to see The Foxes of London. So I love this book. And if you like foxes or just want a book about the natural world that will remind you, like, this is where we came from. We're all in this together. We got to get through it together. Or to give just a role model for adaptability and scrappiness, it's The Fox. So we have a link in the show notes to order from bookshop.org. But the name of the book is The Hidden World of the Fox by Adele Brand. I loved it.
Okay. Julie, maybe once you finish like setting the new American greeting, next you could work on getting the fox added to the flag of Texas, the state flag of Texas.
Okay. Always trying to brand, aren't you, Liz? Just can't help yourself.
Foxes are cute.
I think it's a good one.
All right. That is our show for this week. Big thanks to Sergio Enriquez, who's been working with us from his place and connecting us and then making the show sound great. Thank you, Sergio. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're healthy. Sisters, do you have anything on your to-do list?
This is Julie, and I, at my next earned free choice time, I'm going to do a unit on foxes, Liz.
Oh, Joel, yeah, she has cute pictures of foxes all over her website. She's a whole fox section. I mean, foxes are adorable.
Okay,
I
think book is being ordered. I'm doing this.
Yeah, actually start with the Walt Disney movie, Robin Hood.
With the fox. I don't think I can watch it now that I know that you thought he was the fox was sexy.
He's sexy.
That's a little hinky for me. Okay.
Okay, my to-do list. You know what I don't understand? All the people that are posting about how they didn't take a shower today or that kind of stuff. I like, There have been several days when I've taken several showers. So shower is my number one thing. And also, I got to say, the people, all of the women that are saying they're enjoying not wearing a bra, I'm not in that category. I enjoy the comfort that I get from my third love. So I'm taking showers. I'm wearing my bra. But one thing I have not done since the quarantine began was vacuum. I think today is the day that I'm finally going to have to vacuum my apartment. So
okay. We're proud of you, Liz. That's good work. that's hopeful. That's
yes, it is. It's hopeful that maybe someday someone will come in my apartment.
That's what I'm thinking.
Bring that out into the universe.
Positive. Very positive. Very positive. Well, I'm working on putting the final touches to what will become a virtual book tour. I'll let people know. My book comes out in a couple of weeks, but we're doing some plans. So that's sort of figuring out things, but I will announce that. So that's on my to-do list this week, is just celebrating the book, finding joy when I can, and keeping people safe and healthy is also important. So all those things are going to happen this week. I'll figure it all out and I'll let people know. So that's
so exciting. It's so exciting, Leanne.
All right, everyone. Sisters, have a great week. You too, Leanne.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.